Something.
Dave? Dave is outside the building.
In his van! And you know what I was going to say to you? I was going to say, Dave is outside the building in the van when we give him a buzz. And then I said to myself, Claire, you have got to move on. Dave is in the past. It's all about the new men in your life these days. But now he's making his presence felt. Hi, Dave. Just a touchdown would be great, yeah? Recording a podcast in here.
Does he have a kind of sixth sense about when we're recording Soul Sisters? It's like, geez, man.
You know, well, I think it's a bit like Shrubs and Rubs. You know, he said the day that I met him that he was like, I just know through Lee that I'm not getting as many mentions on the pod these days. And I'd say Dave's exactly the same. Dave's thinking to himself, how do I keep myself relevant?
Hi, and welcome to Soul Sisters. I'm Georgie Crawford.
And I'm Claire Solon. And we're delighted that this season of Soul Sisters is brought to you by Colgate Max White Ultra, our favourite toothpaste, bar none. Unlike regular whitening toothpastes that only remove surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra's unique formula goes beyond the surface to remove deep stains and deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days.
Colgate Max White Ultra's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works, take it from us, and will help you feel radiant, confident, and empowered in those important life moments where you want to smile like you mean it.
Beautiful. Hello, good afternoon, good morning. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Soul Sisters. How are you, Claire?
Do you know what? I am really good this week. I feel like I've bounced back. I feel like I was able to lean into the irritation and agitation of last week. And then I was able to just insert little joys, moments of joy and gratitude, which has helped me elevate me vibes.
Wow. I was actually only thinking about that a couple of weeks ago, that happiness. I feel happiness in my life because I work on being happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for so long, I just expected to be happy or for happiness to come along. But actually, to be happy in your life, you have to put things in place in order for you to feel that way. And actually, I saw something amazing on Instagram the other day, and I hope I saved it, because how many times have I done this on the podcast where I've gone to my saved items and what I'm talking about has not been there? So, okay, let's talk about what I have saved on Instagram, will be in the last week. Now, I do this in the middle of the night.
Oh.
So I saved a sing-song in a pub in Dublin. So did you see that reel? It's like 50 people all playing the guitar.
Oh, my God.
So I saved that just in case, I don't know, someone asks me, a tourist comes to Ireland and asks for a recommendation. I saved Clodagh McKenna's Chicken and Broccoli Bake.
Yum.
Now, I'm not a big chicken person, as we know, but Jamie and Pia are. So I'm going to make that during the week. I saved a gorgeous bedroom with trees.
Trees.
And I did not save. I did not save the happiness thing.
Okay, hang on. The trees are on the walls, or is it an inside outside room?
Oh, yeah. Beside the bedside lockers.
Yes, gorgeous. But happiness, once again, happiness eludes you.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? If we're talking about stuff we saved on Instagram, could I read you what mine is? Do you think you might find yours or?
Yeah, I'll keep going. Go ahead.
Okay. Right. Let me just read this to you because this struck a chord. This is written by Nicola Jane Hobbs. Growing up, I never knew a relaxed woman. Successful women? Yes. Productive women, plenty. Anxious and afraid and apologetic women, heaps of them. But relaxed women, at ease women, women who aren't afraid to take up space in the world, women who prioritize rest and play and pleasure, women who give themselves unconditional permission to relax without guilt, without apology, without feeling like they need to earn it. I'm not sure I've ever met a woman like that, but I would like to become one. I would like us all to become one.
I love that. Who wrote that?
Nicola Jane Hobbs.
Do you know who I feel like the only person that sprung to mind when I listened to that is Oprah.
Oprah.
I feel like she can embrace a relax.
And I suppose, look, the obvious is she's a gazillionaire, so she can relax. And she's at that stage in her life where she can relax. But I do think it's all the work, like all of the interviews with thought leaders and spiritual healers. And, you know, she has done her own work, but also had the privilege of speaking to people who can illustrate for her what that looks like.
Yeah, show her the way.
Yeah.
I found my little happiness thing because it's so far down because I'm clearly saving a lot of things in the middle of the night. Joel Osteen, the preacher in America.
Oh, yes. Who has he? Has he been on Oprah?
Yeah. So he says, whatever follows I am is coming for you. So I am tired. I am stressed. I am overweight. I am unfit. Whatever follows I am is coming for you. So replace your negative I ams with I am rested. I am ready. I am open. Anyway, he says, don't wait to feel happy before you decide to be happy. You have to decide first and then the happiness will come.
That's a big one.
So I am happy. I'm going to see what happens.
So I've literally been battling with that over the last while, like feeling just a bit meh and thinking, go find something that will improve your mood, boost your vibration and see what happens. But it's so, sometimes it's so hard, isn't it, to reach up that extra bit for that just, you know, you just, maybe I'll just sit in the couch or maybe I just won't go outside or, so it's difficult. Somebody who's been really helping me on this path is Jerry Hussey. I told you I was rereading his book. And it's funny, every time, I mean, Jerry really reminds me of you because you guys have done such great work together. And when I was reading this bit in particular in his book, I was like, oh, I need to tell the Soul Sisters and Georgie about this. But this helped me in the last week. So I was saying to you that the world was annoying me. People were annoying me. I was feeling levels of agitation that I couldn't get over. And when I read this, I thought, whoa, okay, Jerry, I hear you barking, big dog. Sometimes the loudest person in the room is the one trying to drown out their own inner pain. Sometimes the person with the 7-day smile is the one trying to deflect you from their tears. That's me. Sometimes the very motivated, very driven person is the one running away and afraid to sit still. Sometimes the person who's addicted to adventure and extreme pursuits is the one looking to self-harm or self-punish. So all of those personality types that exist in our world around us and maybe cause us to like compare and despair at times, or like if I'm sitting in the office and someone's making a load of noise, I'm just like, what is up with that person over there? Like, shut up. Actually, that person's in pain too. It's just a different way of handling it, of disguising it. And when I read that, I was like, ah, okay, we're all suffering. It's just we deal with it in different ways.
So I have a confession to make. Sometimes when I'm doing exercise classes on YouTube, I mute YouTube and listen to a podcast instead. Which is what?
Oh!
Is that bad?
You have no idea what that says to me about you. I'm going to get a little life coach on your ass, how? So that is mad. You are doing one task, you're doing one activity, and your brain is going at 90 miles an hour and says, do you know what, actually, I need something else in my ears. I need to just pile in some more distractions to distract me from what I'm actually doing.
Yeah. I was in Tbilisi and we had this gorgeous terrace, and you know, when we got over the jet lag and unpacked and stuff on the third day, I was like, right, let's go. Got into my gym gear, went up to the roof, put on. Now, I didn't overdo it because I wanted to be realistic. So I did 15 minutes of a HIIT, like high intensity workout. Mm-hmm. And I did it. And I was like, wow, like this is the start of my month here. You know, I'm out in the beautiful weather. I'm outside. I'm on my roof terrace. And I was like, I am going to do this every single day. And I never went out there again. I was like, I never did it again. I did it once in a month. How bad is that?
Well, it's not bad because of, you know, it's not like you were just on a holiday in Tbilisi just shooting the breeze. You know, you did have other priorities. But isn't it interesting how it's really hard to maintain, even if it feels good on one day?
So we had 111 steps up to our apartment.
Stop!
Yeah.
111.
So, yeah, first of all, 111 is a good sign.
Yeah.
But Dan Buettner and his Move Naturally in the Blue Zones. So, you know, studying all the people that live past 100, what do? They move naturally. They're not necessarily doing HIIT workouts or going to the gym or doing exercise classes. They're walking up hills every day. They're walking out to get their shopping. They're walking up steps. So I walked, I would have went up to that apartment three times a day. So that's at least 330 steps that I was taking naturally a day.
It's actually double that, isn't it? If up and down.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you count the down steps.
Yeah.
But like, who does that?
Me. Steps be steps, yo.
So you are off to India. Oh, now, sometimes when, okay, so Jerry, we're talking about Jerry. Jerry says this all the time. He'll come home from hanging out with one of the lads and he'll say, oh, Paul's off on holidays. And Miriam will say, oh, where are they going? And he'll say, don't know. And then he'll say, oh, Paul and blah, blah, blah are getting the little one christened. Oh, are they having a party? And what's the plan for the day? Didn't ask. So Jerry's point is that men communicate differently to women. We want the details. Men usually don't ask the next question. So when they come home and tell us the stories, there's not enough information. So when I was thinking in the middle of the night where I do all my best thinking these days, I was like, how does Claire get to India? What does she do? Does she travel alone? What happens when she lands? Like, these are the details I need and the rest of the Soul Sisters need, because I would love to do this one day. I would love to go to India, but I think I would feel married with kids, a dog, responsibilities, I couldn't do something like that, or that's not for me, or I'm not that type of person. I would feel selfish maybe if I went to India and left my entire family behind. But tell us, give us the details, make it accessible for us.
Interesting. So that would have been me back in 2017 when I first got the opportunity to go to India. All of those things come to mind. It's an expense. It's an investment in yourself, but it feels expensive at the time because you pay for the trip, which is a meditation trip and tour. So you start in Delhi and you make your way up on buses up into the Himalayas. So that's expensive. And then you obviously have to pay for your flight to get to India, which is also expensive. So all of those usual things come up, your responsibilities to your life at home and also how you're going to finance it. But I can tell you now, having done four or five of these trips, that the blessings and the learnings and the love that I'm able to access over there in India comes back to me tenfold. So my initial investment appreciates and appreciates and appreciates.
So what ballpark figure, how much are we talking?
We're talking about $3,000 or $4,000.
Okay. So you get on the flight. Are we going to Heathrow?
We're going straight to Heathrow and we're getting on a Virgin Atlantic flight to Delhi.
On your own?
On my own, yeah.
How long is the flight?
Flight is about 8 or 9 hours. I get quite creative on a plane because I think, again, you sort of clear your mind and you say, whatever's behind me is behind me now. I can't do anything about it, like work or whatever. And what's in front of me, don't really know. So you're in a sort of an air pocket, an airlock of your brain where you can actually put a lot of thoughts down on paper.
So you land then, and what happens at the airport?
So this is, you just come into the bosom of India then, because India is so bustly and busy, and it can be in a complete assault on the senses. You can't, when you arrive there first, if you're like, whoa, you sort of have to just, like, it's riding the wave a little bit. So you just jump in, join the queue, get through security and get in outside where you'll be met by a group of administrators who are running the tour. They give you a garland, like they'll put around your neck, of flowers, and then you'll pile onto the bus. Maybe there's other people coming in from other places across the world, and you will drive to the guru's office in Delhi, in the center of Delhi.
Oh, okay. So that's not a long trip.
No, no.
Okay. Right. So what happens when you go to the guru's office?
So then you'll have a blessing. So he'll welcome the group and he'll do some prayers. We'll do some meditations and mantras. And then they'll send us back to our hotel and tell us what's going to happen over the next few days. Dave.
Jesus. What an attention seeker.
Dave, we're in India now, love. All right. We're far away. Come on. Namaste. Yeah. So, yeah, we will find out what's going on, what is next on the itinerary, and then what the excitement builds over the weekend when we get on the buses and we drive up the mountains into the Himalayas.
How long does that take?
That takes a long time. So you do spend a lot of time traveling on buses. And I mean, I know you and me in times gone by struggled a little bit with travel sickness and motion sickness. So I do carry those little bands that you can put around your wrists, because there are some twists and turns up in them Himalayas.
So when you say a long time, are we talking 8 hours, like 3?
Could be between 6 and 8 hours until you get up to a place called Depriag, where it's where you will stay in this beautiful place overlooking the Ganges.
So like that's a different world to Delhi, obviously.
Yes, exactly. So Delhi is mad. Beep, beep, beep. Wah. So much going on. And then as you get up into the Himalayas, the air is clear and clean and the people are different, because the mountain people and the Himalayan people are, they're just living a different life. They're living up in that clean, fresh air. And it's I always find mountain ranges very spectacular. So you're looking at snowy peaks and it's sunny. And you will, so over the course of the time up in the Himalayas, we'll be brought round to different temples where we'll make special offerings and do certain rituals, spend time together, getting to know each other. And it's a love bubble. That's how I would describe it.
Oh, I love it. And then, so you're staying in hotels or like kind of dorms?
Yeah, hotels. Usually guest houses where you have your own room and or you might share with one other. And then you're eating beautiful Ayurvedic meals, which are suited like perfectly to your constitution and your digestion. So even though you get in there first and you're like, whoa, again, this is new for me, eating Indian food with spices and stuff, I can guarantee you a few days in, your body will be like, your digestion will be clockwork.
Nice. And is there a bit of crack on it as well?
So much crack. So much crack. It's mostly Irish people, but some people from across the world join us. But there's so much, there's excitement, you know, and there's possibility and there is healing. There is so much healing.
bring us all with you. Even if you, like, I know we've had this conversation before and you say that you're going to post when you get back and then you don't. And that's okay because it's like sacred for you and it's your time. But if you could just share anything from it, I'd love to see it on your Instagram.
Certainly. And look, my ambition is to bring my own meditation retreats to India. That's what I want to do in future. So I'm going to record a podcast from India with you, which is going to be exciting. Yeah. And I certainly will. I'll document a lot more than I ever have before. All right, now a word from our sponsors. Colgate Max White Ultra is a toothpaste with clinically proven unique technology that actually whitens your teeth in just 3 days. And better yet, it's safe for your enamel. With Colgate, you can feel confident, empowered for those ultra smile moments in your life. Georgie, over to you, my friend.
I was thinking about this. What was my ultra smile moment this week? And I don't know about you, but when I look back on photos of my childhood or like my friends' childhoods, there's always like photos of you in the bath, but not in, you know, you're in the sink or you're in a pot or you're just somewhere random having a bath. And I remember when I got sick saying to Jamie, will you please take as many pictures as you can of me bathing Pia? Because I want her to have them when she gets older. So on Saturday night, we stuck on Strictly, go on Angela Scanlon, flying the flag, doing so well. We put on the fire and brought Tally's bath into the living room and put her in it and took loads of photos. The room was so warm, took her out of the bath, wrapped her up in a towel, and we all sat on the couch watching Strictly, and Piper came over and was licking Tally's toes.
Oh.
Now, we talk about five-star moments, ultra smile moments. That's going in the vault for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And it's important to stop when you have those moments, but also to set up those moments and you'll never forget them.
And that is living in the moment. So be your most authentic self with thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra, available in all major Irish retailers and half price in Super Value until the 1st of November.
And back on sale in Dunn's Half Price from the 8th of November until December 5th.
I went speed dating. I'm surprised actually that I haven't got to it before now.
So give us a, like, what is speed dating in the year 2023? Is it the same as it was like in the 90s?
That's a really good question. Let me just grab a piece of paper here. So it's become far more comprehensive now. My dating coach, Emer from Kindling Dating, I mean, honest to God, girls, it's been such a benefit to me already, because on Friday evening before I went, I would have paid serious cash money to sit on my couch. I probably would have, if someone said to me, 200 quid so you don't have to go speed dating, I probably would have paid it.
I would have paid it for you.
See, that makes me feel better. So Emer was like, I'll meet you outside 100 Wardour Street and let's go in.
Oh my God.
Now, the first thing that struck me is it's very loud. It was a very loud venue. So the music was on really loud, and halfway through the speed dating, a singer, a live singer, started. So I am, right? I'm dressed in a white tee, black jeans, black ballerina pumps, and a green, like a really bright green, like lid of a 7-Up bottle, green blazer. And the reason I was wearing that was I was finishing out my week of dedication to the Irish. Yes. And I just thought, also talkability. And the reaction to that was varying levels of interest. So I was sitting in front of these lads who were kind of anywhere between late 20s and probably maybe mid 50s. And I brought up the fact that I was my green. Do you like me green blazer? I'm from Ireland. Do you like me green blazer? And the problem was, it was so loud that we had to lean in. And I'd say, what do you think of my blazer? And he'd be like, huh? And I'm like, what do you think of my blazer? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's nice. cool. What's your name? Huh? What's your name?
Oh, so my God.
There was a lot of that. And actually halfway through, there was about maybe 20 fellas, maybe 30. Halfway through, the lads were coming. So the lads were sitting down in front of me and you could see them just drained by having to shout. And meeting these guys, who none of whom I was massively attracted to, but I was like, okay, this is a good step in the right direction.
So good. So no one you fancied?
No one I fancied. There was one guy there who was an Aussie and it turns out he lives very close to me. And so what you did was there was a scorecard that you could write down. You write down people's names. Now, Emer was beside me and Emer was saying to me, would you write down the names there? Write down the names. But I had spoken to the guy who was organising the event and he was like, look, it'll all come up online, people's pictures, so you can get on and do your matches. So I didn't take any names down at the time, but I knew the Aussie guy that I met was quite cute and he lived locally. So I thought maybe he could be a match of some description. So I jumped on and I went to look at him and he had put friendship down. So you can either match as a love match or a friends match. So he has also put a friend match. So I messaged him and said, hey, if you fancy a coffee sometime as friends, that would be cool.
That's a really good step. I love that.
Isn't it? And then finally, I came home and I've been on the apps and I've been talking to this nice guy and he said, hey, maybe we could get a drink sometime. And I said, hey, I'm off on a trip for 2 weeks, but maybe when I come back, we could.
And who's he?
His name is Sam. And he also lives quite close to me.
That's what we were talking about last week, where your attention goes, energy flows.
Exactly that. And I have a date in 2 weeks' time.
I started telling you about what gives me the ick and I wanted to know what gives you the ick. So did you have time to think about it?
I did, yeah.
Go on, tell me.
Now, some of these are ridiculous, so just bear with, right? My ick is when people don't get my jokes. I think I'm quite accessible when it comes to like landing a punchline. People who explain the joke or explain the punchline, I'm like... And then one more ick that came to me while I was in a Inferno Pilates class the other day, beside what was actually a lovely gentleman. But people who breathe really heavy in an exercise class like they are competing in the Olympics is infuriating.
Okay, I like your icks. Mine are, I think I've told you this one before, so men who walk backwards in supermarkets and bump into you. I'm like... Ick! They're like talking to someone, oblivious to you, like standing right behind them and walk straight into you. It makes me so mad. My other ick is people that don't lower down the TV when they're talking.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm with you. I think that comes with the territory for us. It's an occupational hazard because we work in, we have a history in radio. You just wouldn't. It's bad mic technique to be shouting over music or loud noise.
Then I started telling you about this email that I got from Vicky Nataro. Now, Vicky Nataro used to run VIP Publishing. She is a powerhouse in the media over here. And she went out on her own because she is writing a book. Like, she's writing a novel, Claire.
Wow.
Which is so impressive. And she's doing PR bits and things like that. But she wanted to get out of the game, you know yourself, after a while. So she's gone from VIP Publishing for now. But she sends out a weekly newsletter. And I love it because she's such a good writer. And I really appreciate people that's put something together. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read you. So she sent out an email last week about her icks and they were so outrageous but made me laugh. So now when she sent out this email, she's like, I'm in a bit of a bad mood. So you know when you're in a bad mood, like the icks are like multiplied. So she made a list of 19 icks that she has.
Love it.
People referring to other people as humans. E.g., what an amazing human, or this is my favorite human. People that keep soft drinks in the press. Also, people who call soft drinks minerals. Also, when you order a takeaway and they deliver a warm bottle of minerals instead of a cold can. Stemless wine glasses. I must disagree. I love a stemless wine. Men getting badly sunburnt. I don't know why, but it's very unmanly to me. Men in shit bands. Grow up. And my absolute favorite ick of Vicky Nataro is... men asleep on airplanes. Can't explain it. Huge ick. Something to do with them looking very vulnerable.
That is ridiculous. That is so funny.
One of the best things I've done for myself this year is give myself... some new eyebrows. And a couple of people, my friends and my family mostly, have said something different about your face. So I was scrolling one night and Queen McNally came on and said, Lizanne Proctor does my brows for me every couple of weeks or every couple of months and she's a dinger at it. And I thought, hello, universe. So I checked out Lizanne's profile, Lizanne Fibrows on Instagram. She's out in Clontarf and I got an appointment with her. Took me months to get it. So basically she microblades hair strokes manually with like a henna sort of a dye. And she outlines like a perfect brow for you. And then you can just dye them or pluck them or whatever you need. But the outline is there.
And your eyebrows look amazing.
Thanks.
So my recommends is based off the fact that I walked up 111 steps every day when I was in Tbilisi, up and down. So my recommends this week is bringing it back to basics. Take the stairs. Move naturally. Those first few days when I was in Tbilisi, I'd get to the top of the stairs and I felt like my heart was beating out of my chest. Mm. By the end, I was carrying Tali up. We were carrying buggies, the shopping. And we just got through it. And I physically felt my legs getting stronger. So you don't need to be in a fancy gym. You don't need to go to fancy classes. Take the stairs, walk to the shop, do what you can in your week to move naturally this week. So I've got a great health tip from Claire McKenna this week. And this is one actually that is really good, I think, as well for Irish people, because we're so set in our ways with things. She said, get yourself a good GP that you like and trust. They're your first port of call for everything you do with your mental and physical health. Many of us stick local or one that our family have used for years. But go and seek one out. There's many great GPs who are out there who have a holistic view of our lifestyle, stress management and more. You are the expert on your own body. So if something doesn't feel right, get it checked. And if you don't feel like you're being listened to or getting the right answers, ask someone else.
Love that. That is such an important tip.
Remember, not feeling yourself is enough of a symptom.
Beautiful.
I got a new GP the year I got cancer and I went to her when I found my lump and she didn't tell me it was nothing. She referred me straight away and helped save my life.
Shop around for your needs, even when it comes to the medical profession.
So that's it. Next time we hear from you, Claire, you'll be in India. Hopefully you'll get some signal up in the Himalayas to talk to us. But we're so excited.
It's going to be great. Catch you next week, Soul Sisters.
Go forth and conquer. You never know who you might meet out there.
Thanks, Eileen Solon.